Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Now we're turning to Hebrews, the chapter 11. Hebrews and the chapter 11, and we've come to the verse 8 of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Can you get it all right? And the verse 8, I'll read it to you now. By faith. That's always the introduction to what it is we want to study in our assembly meetings here on a Tuesday. We're talking about faith. Faith. It's so vital. No matter where you look in the Bible, you'll come up with this word, faith. And as I've told you, the word simply means faith is just believing what God says He will do. That's what faith is. Believing God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, in verse 7 we were considering Noah. Now we come to Abraham. But between Noah and Abraham, there were quite a number of generations, and there were quite a number of years. But there is still at work this thing called faith. It was still at work. Now, starting at verse 8, for the next 11 verses, we are considering this man, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah. Abel got one verse. Enoch got two verses. Noah got one verse. But Abraham fills 11 verses. That tells us that he was an important person, as also was his wife, Sarah. That God should write so much about him indicates that there's a lot in his life that God would have you to understand and to know. He was a key person in the life of that people living in the world today who are still the people of God, even though they're most rebellious and disobedient. I'm talking about the Jewish people. Abraham is the father of them, physically speaking. They descended from him. They are God's people because Abraham, their father, was God's man. But if you're saved today, Abraham is a special person in your life. A special person in your life. Because spiritually speaking, he's your father. If you're saved, he is your father. Now, why should that be? Well, let me read to you some verses from Romans, the chapter 4, and the verses 16 and 17. And you older ones should look this up because it explains something very important. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Here's the important bit. Who is the father of us all? As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations. Part of the blessing of God to Abraham was that he would bless him and make him a blessing to all nations. And Abraham has been made a blessing to us here in this land. Because if you have believed the message of God, then you have stood in with Abraham, and you enjoy the blessing of God. You enjoy the blessing of God. as he was born again by the grace of God and believed God, so if we have had the same experience and have been born again and believe God, we're part of the same family as Abraham. So never forget that. You are related, if you're saved, to Abraham, spiritually speaking. He's the father of the Christian because being born again, as I say, of the Spirit of God, we are part of that family, of which Abraham was a very important person. Now, the first thing I want you to notice from this verse 8 is the fact that God began his dealings with Abraham with a call. Doubtless the first word that God uttered when he called Abraham was the word Abraham. How do you begin the conversation? If you want to talk to someone, what's the first thing you do? You utter their name. You get their attention by speaking to them, so that the person to whom you're speaking knows who it is you want to talk with. If you just start off talking without saying a name, everybody will think, oh, he's not talking to me, or she's not talking to me. It's someone else. But if you utter their name, then you have their attention. They'll turn and they'll look at you, and they'll listen. Well, you find that in the gospel. God calls us by name when he wants us to hear what it is he has to say. And thus we find the beginning of Abraham's experience of God and his word and his mercy and his blessing. It begins when God calls him. When God calls him. Do you know something, boys and girls? I can remember vividly the moment God called my name. I can remember it vividly. There are very, very few Christians who can't recall the first time God spoke to them. There are some who, because they were very young, can't, as it were, put a day and a date on the moment the Lord spoke to them. They remember the Lord speaking to them, but they can't say what day it was or what date it was. But they can remember vividly God speaking to them. Oh, we never forget that. We never forget that. It all begins with God calling. Now, the word call is one that indicates God speaks loudly. Because that's what the word, the Hebrew word there, implies. It's a loud call. It's a loud call. God doesn't whisper when he wants your attention. Well, there are times he does whisper, as we all use whispers when we're speaking to people oftentimes. But when God calls us in the gospel, it's a loud call. And it's a loud call because God wants us to hear. He wants to get our attention. It's hard at times to get the attention of men and women. That's why I raise my voice. Because I want your attention as I relay to you God's word. Because he wants your attention. We're so carried away and taken up with what goes on within our head, what's happening around us. We miss what God says. Now you know the teacher oftentimes, when speaking in the class, has to say, looking at one individual, are you listening? Why have they said that? Because they could see from the person looking around them that they weren't listening. Their mind was elsewhere. And if it's elsewhere, they're not taking in what the teacher was saying. Boys and girls, God wants you to hear him. There's nothing in this world as important as hearing what God has to say to us. Nothing. Nothing is important. Now, this call, I want you to notice, was set forth not as a request. God didn't say, perhaps if it suits you, Abraham, you might consider doing what it is I want you to do. No, he didn't say that. It was a command. When the sergeant in the army shouts out to a squad, attention! Everybody comes to attention. It's not a request. It's a command which must be obeyed. And that which is here addressed to Abraham was a command. He was called to leave his home and go to a place that God had appointed. Look at what it says in the verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Get thee out. Gather up your goods, your household affairs, and start out for a land that I will show you. That was the command of God. And boys and girls, the gospel command from God is very similar in essence to that which God here directs Abram to obey. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And when we repent, like Abraham, we turn away from what it is we have been doing, where it was we were going, and we start on a path to a new place, new land, that God has for those who obey. Are you on the new path this morning? Have you heard God's call? And have you turned your back on the world and on sin? And have you started for that place that the Lord would point us to? Let me come to something else. The call of God, if you will notice, dealt also with that which had to do with afterwards. In other words, what I'm saying is that the call of God speaks about the future. Look at the verse again, please. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive. God's word, God's call, the gospel, deals with the now, but it also deals with the after. God calls on you now to obey the gospel, now to repent of sin and believe in him. That's something for now. But the gospel also speaks about what follows after that. If you're saved today, oh how I want to impress this on you. If you're saved today, God has a great after for you. I'm just thinking, I don't know if it's still the case, but when I was young, we used to call dessert afters. Did you ever hear that term, any of you? Maybe not. I can remember saying on occasions to my mother, what have we for afters? Meaning, what have we got for dessert? Boys and girls, God has a wonderful dessert for you. If you take the bread of life, if you partake of the food of the gospel, God has a wonderful afters for you. There's a wonderful dessert awaiting us. Heaven. It is so wonderful we can't even begin. We can't even begin to understand, to visualize what heaven is like. And that brings me to the last point I want to stress with you this morning. The call of God deals with after as well as now. And I want you to notice that Abraham started out not knowing whither he went. See what it says there in the verse? Look at it. Look at it and understand. He was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, there's a lot of things Christians know. A lot of things we know that the world doesn't know. And the world doesn't understand. There have been times in my life when I have been asked by people, what about? How will this be? And when they ask that question, they're indicating, I just don't understand. I don't know. But you're a Christian. And I believe you know. That's what they were saying. And yes, the Christian does know many things. I wish I had time this morning to go through some of the things that we know. One comes to mind, even as I'm thinking of this one word, it comes to mind because I've often referred to it in times of sadness and sorrow in Christian homes, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 1, where Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. We know, says Paul. We Christians know that if we die, we have a place in heaven. That's what he's saying. But boys and girls, there's things Christians don't know. We're given plenty of information in the Bible about heaven. But such is that information that it's too great for our minds to take in. You recall how Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. He had sinned on one occasion and offended God, and God said, you'll not get into the promised land as a result of that. You'll die before it. But God did allow him to do something. He allowed him to climb to the top of a mountain on the very borders of the promised land and look out over it. And it says that he was able to see from Dan, away up in the north, to Beersheba, away down in the south. But I have no doubt he couldn't see every tree. He couldn't see every stream. He couldn't look at every valley and every hill. He couldn't see every detail of the land. And that's how it is with us. We're given a view of heaven and what lies ahead for the child of God in the Bible. But there's so many details. Our eyes, our mind, our heart just can't take in. Abraham had no idea what the land God was taking him to looked like. So he went out, not knowing where he was going. No idea at all. There were no maps in those days. You couldn't take your computer out and open Google Maps and have a real good look at the land that you hoped to travel to. No pictures, no photographs. He didn't know. But as he went out, boys and girls, he had this assurance that God said to him, I'll take you there. I'll lead you. I'm going to give you this place where I'm leading you to for an inheritance. I'm signing it over to you. And it's still so today. Oh, Hamas, the terrorist organization that's working in the Gaza Strip, they don't believe it. But God has signed over that land to Abraham and his descendant. And one day, they're going to enjoy it, occupy it, rule over it. And the whole world will say, yes, that belongs to Israel. They don't say that now. They're arguing in the United Nations. They're arguing in the British Parliament. There's people here in Northern Ireland, like Sinn Féin, that would object to Israel occupying the whole of the promised land. But one day, God will give them that land, which he promised to Abraham. Listen, boys and girls, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Never breaks them. We live in a world where promises are made today and broken tomorrow. In fact, are made today and broken today in many instances. Not so with God. If you have believed the gospel and taken God at his word, he will not fail you. His promise will come true. So then, Abram went out. He started for that land to which God was going to lead him, even though he didn't know anything about it. Tell me, are you on that journey? Have you started out? Have you? Even you young ones, you can start today by believing God, by believing the gospel. Hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you to believe him. Obeying. Oh, you say there's a whole lot of things I don't understand. Ha! Abraham said the same. He didn't know very much of the land to which he was going. But he believed God and he stepped out. Step out today, boys and girls. Obey the call. Start for the promised land of heaven. May the Lord bless his word to your heart today for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in prayer. O God, be pleased to bless your word to the hearts of boys and girls. May they see the picture of Abraham starting out for the land to which God was pointing him. And may they understand that's what God wants them to do today, to obey the call of the gospel and start out for that land that's more blessed than we can ever understand. Answer prayer, Lord. Bless the school, its pupils, its teachers, its parents. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.